Today we're going to be talking about mountains. I'll be the first to admit that I'm a mountain boy. I would much rather spend my time in the hills and on top of the mountains and sitting around a lake than I would the beachfront. I'm more comfortable there. The temperature's different, the attitudes are different. The mountains seem to be home to me. Mountains are pretty important from a theological point of view as well. When you read the Bible, you need to read it with an eye pointed towards the mountains. You see, if God's going to do business, more than likely it's going to be on a mountain. Think about it for a little bit. Mount Ararat is the mountain where Noah and the ark landed after the flood. This is where Noah saw the rainbow of God's promise. This is the mountain where the people came off of the ark and praised God. It is the mountain where God made a new covenant, never to destroy the earth again. God provided Abraham a sacrifice in place of his son on a mountain named Moriah. God appeared as a burning bush and called Moses to free God's people from slavery on the top of a mountain called Horeb. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. God gave Moses a glimpse of the promised land on a mountain called Pisgah. It was a mountain named Carmel that the great prophet Elijah proved to be man's God and proved to people that God is one true God. Jesus was led into the wilderness to fast for 40 days, and then he was led up to a mountain that today we call the Mount of Temptation, where he demonstrated how it is to resist temptation. It was on a mountain, could have been Mount Horeb, or Mount Hermon rather, the highest in the area, that Jesus was transfigured and showed the glory of God to some of his disciples. And when Jesus was struggling with the task before him, he retreated to the Mount of Olives to pray. He said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." And in Revelations, the Lamb of God stands on a mountain called Zion and shows us the ultimate destination for all of those that have faith. I guess you could say that the mountaintop and the mountains are that bridge or that halfway point between heaven and earth. This is where God stoops down to meet humanity and to do business with us. Now, those that have driven or hiked or ridden a train or biked or navigated to the top or very close to the top of any mountain and looked out over the majesty of creation from that lofty perch probably felt like they too had done business with God. When I was little, probably like a lot of you, I watched the Flintstones. And I remember one particular Flintstone cartoon where the Flintstones and the Rubbles had gone on vacation, and Barney and Fred got out and they were looking at this little creek running through the sand. And down in the corner, you saw this little sign that said, "The Grand Canyon." And Fred looks at Barney and says, "You know, one of these days, they say it's going to be a big deal." Well, a few years back, my wife and I had the opportunity to take a trip to the Southwest. And one of the particular legs of that trip included going to the Grand Canyon Rim. We got there in the evening, we spent the night, we were there the next morning touring, and then we left. As we got there and we were unloading from the bus and going into the hotels that were strung out across the rim. We were looking around, and it didn't seem real impressive at the time. We couldn't see any of the Grand Canyon from where we were. I figured it was somewhere off in the horizon, because as you looked at the horizon, you could see mountains and plateaus and everything else on the other side. Well, we quickly went to our rooms, unloaded our luggage, and headed back out, and it was snowing. It was the middle of May, but it was snowing. We had managed to find every secondary piece of clothing that could fit on us to put on that particular day. And we walked the path that we saw everybody else walking, not knowing exactly where we were going, but I figure if a crowd's gone there, I'm going there too. I'm not missing out on this. The closer we got, I realized that we were coming upon the ridge of the Grand Canyon. And all of a sudden, it's like one step you don't see it, and one step further, and the entire canyon opens up in front of you. And it was just before sunset. And the sun was coming down on the canyon walls, and you could make out the colors, hundreds and hundreds of different shades and colors in the walls of the canyon. As the sun began to set, the darkness started at the bottom of the canyon and worked its way up. And there was such a stark difference between where we saw the light on the canyon walls and where there was no light after sunset. It was like it was a gray blackness that meant nothing compared to the color and the grandeur of everything above it. We didn't say much. We just looked, and we noticed that nobody else was doing a whole lot of talking. There was picture taking. There was lots of looking. There were teary eyes. And overhead, we saw condors. Never seen a condor in my life, and it's a huge bird. They were catching the last of the daily thermals, and they were soaring overhead. The higher they got, the lower the sun set. And we just sat there watching the beauty of that and getting teary-eyed as we watched it and decided that God really was pretty fantastic in what He gives us to look at on a daily basis. I think God did business with everybody that was on the mountaintop that day. Our scripture lesson from today is regarded as the song of ascent. In the ascent, we see the movement up the mountains with imagery that draws us closer to God, just like that time at the Grand Canyon. We reach Mount Zion, where we are in a place that we are unshakable, where we can endure forever. Parallel this to Revelation with the Lamb of God standing on the same Mount Zion, showing the ultimate destination for those who are faithful, a place that cannot be shaken and that endures forever. Mount Zion is a place symbolic in Scripture as a place of God's help. Now, a little research on Mount Zion will show us that it's not the highest mountain around. To its east lies the Mount of Olives. To the north is Mount Scopus. To the west and south are the other hills and mountains, all higher than Zion. These mountains rising above Zion in all directions serve as a fortification for Mount Zion. Thus, Mount Zion becomes the symbol of security, of protection. These mountains surround Jerusalem and offer security, just as verse 2 suggests, the Lord surrounds His people both now and forevermore. Now, when we look at mountains and where we are today, we have to realize that we have been given mountains as stewards, and that sometimes we have practiced some pretty irresponsible methods of harvesting resources from mountains. And we have created dramatics where the ecosystems that exist on the top of the mountain have been destroyed, killing everything living on the mountains. There are other practices of harvesting and resources, but in particular, we think of copper and coal, particularly in our area, coal mines and the seams that lie closer to the top of the ground on mountaintops. So we get to a system where we literally blow up mountains so that we can easily harvest coal by bulldozer and dump truck. Now, the reason this is a popular choice of harvesting coal is that it's not labor intensive. It makes it a feasible way of mining coal and harvesting it or other types of resources. In other words, it's cheaper for companies to do it that way, putting a lot of people out of work that might otherwise have been underground coal miners. But it's a destructive way. It's destructive not only to the mountain, but all the people around it. Once the mountains are disrupted by dynamite, the leftovers are either piled back on top of the mountain to resemble a mountain, if you could call that a mountain. Most of them look like a dome. Or they fill in the valleys all around the mountain, and we have a huge flat spot that seems recklessly out of place. Either way, the disturbed land has its resources brought out, and many of the chemicals and those things that were in the ground are now on top of the ground, and as the rain starts to fall and it starts filtering through it and it starts to disturb the ground, it leaches toxins such as selenium from it, carries it into the water supply to be ingested by the residents who live around the mountains. Selenium is a major cause of birth defects in babies. These birth defects are prevalent in children born around mountaintop removal coal sites. In the United Methodist Church, we have a permanent mission post in eastern Kentucky that is right on the very edge of these sites. These are the product of mining companies coming in and taking the resources they want without any concern for what they are leaving behind. They leave behind a place where the land has no value, and the people are stuck with no jobs nor any prospects. Redbird Mission is a permanent domestic mission outpost and an annual conference set up to care for the residents of rural Appalachia. If we look further into the prophecy from Isaiah that's quoted in Luke, we hear of a God when mountains will be laid low and valleys filled up. A modern day living out of this prophecy could be mountaintop removal coal mining. If we lose these places where God can do business with us, then we become more and more disconnected from God. Lord, let us return to the beauty of the mountaintop. We understand that God likes to do business with us there. Humanity has such a rich history of mountaintop experiences with God. Lord, let us return to the mountaintop. Amen.